This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, Marco's Pizza, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Ron's Electric Motors, and Wilmax Pharmacy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. All right, we're coming off of the Independence holiday weekend. Was a good weekend for me. Restful. so far as not a lot was going on. We got several things that are making news, and we got some other things we're going to talk about, too. All right. So we also are going to discuss a couple of the events that occurred over the weekend. I'll say this, that there were no actual murders over the weekend. Was actually a great thing. And maybe Brave Davis does have a calming effect on the criminal element, and him being here makes them act right. I don't know. So, you didn't kill anybody. Good job. All right. Junkanoo happened on Bay on yesterday morning. And I saw they had like a little scuffle on a video, but a little, some guys like, I guess, throwing bottles at each other, the police running after them. That was the extent of it. That shouldn't be happening, but that was the extent of it, that nothing else worse happened is fine. And I hope they do catch those guys. It just goes to show you there's some people who just don't want to act properly. Like all the excuse making in the world for daddy was in there and nobody cared about him. You know enough to know to come to Junkanoo downtown, but you're going to start fighting and throwing bottles and all that. You're engaged in this because you want to, not because some unseen force and the system.
It is very discouraging as a matter of fact. You can't even make them do it.
What is that? Was that just me? Well, did only me hear that just now? Am I the only one who just heard somebody else talking? That wasn't me? Okay. I'm clearly going bonkers. Just me. Yeah, but okay. So they had a big, it was a miniature little scuffle at the Junkanoo. And you had Junkanoo, which was great. And it feels like you're getting back to a sense of normalcy, even though we do see the COVID cases are still coming. It does feel as though things are getting more in line with where we were pre-pandemic. Okay, so in the news today, we had a few things. The first thing is government agrees to settle a BPL case. And this, we learned about this last week, and they're writing about it further in The Guardian today. Lawyers for former Bahamas Power and Light executive chairperson Darnell Osborne and two other former board members who sued BPL and the government for unfair and wrongful dismissal have reached tentative settlements with the Office of the Attorney General. Okay. Osborne and Roy McDean also sued for defamation. Nicola Thompson took action only for alleged unfair and wrongful dismissal. They were fired from the board in 2018. With then Minister of Works Desmond Bastos saying board members clashed on almost every critical issue, which was at great cost to BPL. The matter had been set down for 14 days before Senior Justice Indra Charles to start last Thursday, but the tentative settlements were reached on Wednesday evening with the AG's office. Damian Gomez, QC, who represents Osborne, Dean, and Thompson, said yesterday they're previously represented by Alfred Sears, who's now in cabinet. Gomez did not reveal the proposed settlement amounts, which still need to be approved by cabinet in order to be finalized. But he said it was definitely in the government's interest to settle, as the AG's office was sure to lose, and legal fees alone would have cost over $240,000 for the trio's attorneys over the two-week trial. Jesus, $240,000. I'm in the wrong business. All right, so again, full disclosure, Donnell Osborne is my cousin, and I'm just saying that so that no one goes, it's your cousin, you're going to say, because y'all can't think straight, right? But my close cousin. It's clear that Desmond Bastos defamed her and Nick Dean by his statements and caused her reputational damage, too, when you're talking about somebody who's a certified accountant. You don't just throw out those issues lightly. It could be damaged. To me, it was damaging to her professional reputation, and they had every right to sue. And that it dragged on this long speaks to the stubbornness of the previous administration to protect Bannister in something where he was clearly wrong. All right, he was clearly wrong for his statements. By all means, fire the people now. If they're saying that there was wrongful dismissal and the reasons they give are valid, then you're going to have to pay anyway. But you don't got to go fire them and then smear them in public, which is exactly what he did. All right. So I don't have a problem with the government settling. I think they should have done that in the first place and moved on. It's probably already cost several hundred thousand dollars in legal fees that we're going to have to pay for, and it is what it is. The government, however, doesn't have a duty of care to reveal how much these matters cost. Even if you're just giving a total number with the number of cases that you settle. So if you say, okay, it costs us $1 million to settle 10 outstanding cases, you go, okay, that's... sounds like a lot to explain to us what in legal fees, what was damages, et cetera. The issue with the Commissioner of Police Clayton Fernander and Deputy Commissioner Lehman Delavo, I still don't understand what they were awarded money for. And so if you could explain it to me and justify it for me, then okay. Because here's the part that we don't like to acknowledge. So we're going to sit here and people are going to be political and nonsensical, and that's fine. And everyone's going to complain. And I'll tell you what I see is just drifting into the petty insofar as where we are now with our involvement in the Bahamas, where we just blame the government for every Jesus Christ thing. The government has a great role to play, but I mean, at some point y'all got to check in. You know what I'm saying? Like, tag me in, coach. I'm ready to play. I've been waiting. Not coach got to come wake me up and drag me to practice and do all my work for me and still put me in the game. And then when I don't score 50 points, it's coach fault. I mean, you got to work too, bruh. You don't just get to sit back and the government just provide everything for you. I don't understand that mentality. I don't know how we're going to move forward as a country with that. So here's the thing. I don't have a problem with the government settling these things, but you got to explain it to us and explain what it is that you're doing. Now, the other thing is, as we're looking at the PLP, and I'm not shielding for no PLP. I want to know how much it costs and why, all right? And you got to be above board and transparent. The other thing is, while we're looking at the PLP, we're looking at what the previous governments are doing to cost us money. So if you're doing something that don't make no sense and you're costing us money, then... why should we sit back and go, well, that's okay? Like, why? I'm sorry, the public is paying for Desmond Bannister's lawyers because he was sued in his capacity as minister. I don't want to go through that in no prolonged period of time. So we got to pay for Desmond Bannister's private lawyer. We got to pay for all three of these people's lawyer, which I guess their lawyer was Alfred Sears. So we got to pay him, his firm. We got to pay Damian Gomez now and whatever damage could be determined from the defamation. All right. So why is it that we don't look at the former administration and go, well, why are you costing us money? So you go ahead and sideline Clayton Fernando and Lehman Delavo. Had you not done that in the first place, it would not have cost us money to settle it. So I got a problem with governments taking actions and not thinking through them and ending up costing us money in the long run anyway. All right, because lawyers cost money. That's what a lot of people don't understand. Lawyers are expensive. They charge by the hour. You know, it's a business. It's not a friend thing. You know, it's a business. But, and I do think they should declare. But you know, if government's making an assessment to say, you know what, let's just settle this. It's going to cost us too much money to fight this. That happens all the time. So people often go. Let's give, for example, someone says they were sexually assaulted or sexually harassed, right? And a company gets sued. And they may not have been sexually harassed or sexually assaulted, but oftentimes you'll see a company goes, we want to settle, all right? Or let's say there's a labor dispute and the company may not have been clearly in the wrong, but there are times when the company goes, you know what, we'll settle. Because by the time we finish paying like $500,000 in legal fees, you know, don't worry about it. And there are other times the company goes, let's just fight. We're not wrong. If we offer a settlement, it's outlandish anyway. Let's fight and we'll see what we can do. And so companies make those determinations. Governments make those determinations. Individuals make those determinations all the time. You got people who are like athletes and stuff. They settle cases and they go, well, he clearly was assaulted. Or they just settle it to make it go away. Because they don't want to deal with it. They don't want the headache. They don't want the stress. And so they make it, they just want to make it go away. And so that happens. And you make a calculation. And governments are different than companies. Governments are different than people because governments are continuous. And you make a calculation. We don't want to continue the previous government frolic down this road. All right. So I think it's a smart thing to settle. But we got to start looking at what it is that we're doing to cause us to get in these binds in the first place. For instance, the previous government famously lost numerous cases says, do you not see these settlements as high-end nollies? No. The reason I don't see a settlement as a high-end nolly is because a nolly happens when the government initiates the action. Okay? So a nolly happens when the director of public prosecutions, as it were now, says the state wants to prosecute you, and it's always a criminal charge. These are civic matters. And then the state goes, we no longer want to pursue it, all right? So the state is not in a defensive position. The state is in the aggressive position, the prosecutorial position. And in these matters, the complainants feel they were offended by the state. They're suing the state. So at no time does the state have an obligation to defend itself against a civil action. It just will determine, you know, its best course, all right? And the Attorney General's office deals with these things, not prosecution, right? So I don't consider it that. I consider it you're just making a calculation on a civic matter, yeah? So now if you nolly and go, I'm gonna charge you with murder, and then let's not do it, it's just not the same thing to me. This is just a calculation that you'll sit down and make. So as an organization, as a newspaper, let's say someone feels they've been defamed by a certain thing. And we go, well, that doesn't look like defamation to me. And the company, the attorneys go, you know what? It's going to cost so much to fight this. Just ask them what they want. And let's see if that'll make it go away. And you go from there. So I don't see a huge issue with settling at all. So for instance, my recommendation to the director of public prosecutions, although I'm sure he doesn't need my help, would be to enter into more plea deals to the crimes that have been committed. Instead of fighting, going to trial, everything, and you want murder and everything, enter a plea deal, look, we'll give you manslaughter, you do 10 years. If we're going for murder, you can get life. All right, and that'll cause some of the stuff to not get so clogged up. Since you're misunderstanding me, I'm saying I think the AG's in the same headspace as Maynard Gibson was, which is let's not backlog courts with cases we won't win. Let's free up resources and nolly settle. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. However, a nolly is not a settlement. You can't just say that it is. All right? It's a nolly is a refusal to prosecute. A settlement is something entirely different. So we got to be clear about our language. All right? Now, you could say that the thinking is the same with the nollies, but a nolly is not a settlement. We can't just change the definition of things. All right? So I don't have a problem with settling. I don't have a problem with governments entering plea deals, et cetera. Not a big deal to me. We'll see. We'll see how it all hashes out. Very unfortunate what all has been going on. We've wasted so much time and energy and money while we really should have been trying to get a BPL right. It's hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars later. BPL still can't sustain itself as it stands. We still don't know where we are in terms of dealing with all this debt. And, you know, we just really need to focus. And the government just needs to settle down and try to fix BPL. All right? It will benefit us all. Okay, so we got a couple of texts. Then I want to point out something that I note of independence, right? And I want to be clear. So let me just do your text, and then I'll do all this. All right. This says, this ridiculous new phenomenon of having to settle out of the Treasury for these ministers, bad judgment and loose lips. They should be held accountable. I agree. I think I know it's not going to change, but I think there should be some degree of accountability personally from the offender. All right. I get it. He undertook this as a minister of the government, and so therefore you're going to defend his position as a minister. But to me, you did something in your capacity as a minister, but you did something not because cabinet told you to do something, not because the law mandated you do something, but you did something because you felt like it. You went out there and nobody made you speak. You didn't have no obligation under law to speak and run on outside of cabinet. That was you. You did that. You felt like doing that. You should be held accountable, right? It says, but one, if the case goes to court, then we will most likely know who is truly in the wrong. But with the government just settling, especially with members of the current member, what, with a person's lawyers, how can I as an independent be totally objective? I mean, well, you know, listen, you're going to have to look at it like this. You got to have the people who are making these decisions make the best determinations. Is it in your interest to fight cases that you may lose anyway? And a judge or a jury may award you, a judge would award you something much bigger. If they can expose how much Kay Forbes and Sulana Lewesco is making, why can't they tell us how much Fernando Delbo and former members of the BPL government got? All right. Well, so the first thing is nobody exposed how much Kay Forbes was making, but Kay Forbes. We learned about what she made as a result of a lawsuit that she has filed. So she's now suing the government, all right, for wrongful dismissal. Will they settle with Kay Forbes or will they be obstinate and go, we're not going to do it? All right, so she revealed what she was making herself. Nobody exposed her. Susan Olivesco, they did say how much she was making. I don't see the problem with saying how much Fernanda and Delavo got and what the former members of the BPL board are going to get. This says, this PLP dark day government is giving away money like a broken candy machine. Seems like all you need is a PLP lawyer to represent you. I also see that a witness has stepped forward to confirm that Minister JoBeth Colby assaulted a police officer with a vehicle. Yeah, I don't know none of that. So first of all, I wouldn't have run that article. I like some of the reporting Eyewitness News is doing. I wouldn't have run that at all, right? Because anyone can go file something they said happened in the police, and you're essentially accusing JoBeth Colby of assault of a police officer just by publishing that, all right? The evidence usually needs to be entered into the public record via a court. in order that we report on that, that we are protected. And I don't wish for anybody to get sued, but Joe Beth Colby has a very actionable case on her hands in terms of whether she's been libeled or defamed by that article, because any rando can go file any report at all. All right. That's not how this is supposed to work. All right. Joe Beth Colby can have 50 people go to the police right now and say, I was there. I didn't see anything. All right. So you just don't like the PLP, which is fine. You don't got to like them. All right. But don't throw these things out here and be like, yeah, it's a witness came forward. What are you talking about? Like, that's what it takes. Somebody just says, I saw somebody do something. And that's it. We're all supposed to condemn them before it actually, you know, gets into the record. And y'all tell me Long Island shouldn't be resigning, even though he'd been charged in court. Joe Beth ain't had nothing happen. Now, if you hit an officer with a vehicle, all right, that's a why. But I don't hold much stock in that. I'll wait for all the stuff to come out. I'll be real with you. So I will have to wait for it, because anybody could just go, I was in the crowd and I saw it. How we know you were there? Like, you just willing to accept that, right? People tell me they see me. People tell my wife they see me riding around with some woman. One person said that one time. Anybody, why would somebody lie? Why do any, and listen, we're going to go to a break here. Here's what I don't question anymore. Lying, stealing, killing. So people will lie about anything. People will steal anything. People will kill for any particular reason at all. All right. So I just go, okay, I don't like it, but it don't surprise me. All right. People will steal paint. People will steal paint off the wall. I don't know why. Perhaps they're kleptomaniac. People will steal anything. All right. So I'm not going through that with you guys and Joe Beth Colby Davis until we see something more concrete, not random leaked statements that have never been entered into any sort of court record. We're not going through all that. Why did we pay those officers if they wasn't fired and just relocated? I don't know. Good question. I'm in total agreement with that, and we should ask about it. All right. It says, the Colby affair, this story has got to be a plan to obfuscate. The real issue is that Colby defied the order of an officer. This is confirmed by the officer Colby and Monroe. I have to go back over my research to see that part. But, there was, from the video, there was clearly the officer didn't want her to proceed and then allowed her to proceed. What happened with that? Don't know. I would use better judgment if I were her. All right. If you're telling me I can't go, I can't go. And that's just what it is. Right. So I was at, and you just got to live with it. I was at the national swim meet over the weekend, and you couldn't tell the parking lot attendant, they don't actually own that parking lot. But the government does. You can't park here. I go, okay, I'm willing to pay for parking. No, you can't park here. So I go to go inside. You got to park across the street. I'm willing to pay for parking, man. I'll pay the VIP. I just want to get inside. You can't park here. Then I go, you call the supervisor. Call this one. Call them. No, I go, okay, I'll park over here. No problem. It's important to you. I will park over there. It's not worth me running out. If you're telling me the road's blocked and I got to go around, I'm going to go around. And that's just me. All right. So sometimes you just use your better judgment and go, you know what? Okay. All right. As critical as I think my role is, I will still abide by, you know, the rules that the common folk have to abide by. We're going to take a break. I want to tell you some weird stuff I saw recently dealing with independence and other stuff. And we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always. You're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance. Peace of mind.
The King wants you to take a walk on the tangy side with the all-new Zesty Whopper Collection at Burger King Nassau. Enjoy the classic Zesty Whopper with two types of cheese, zesty sauce, and crispy onions stacked on 100% flame-grilled beef. Or go zesty on our plant-based Whopper and crispy chicken. All three are saucy, crunchy, and full of flavor, and only available at Burger King Nassau. Visit any of our seven locations and enjoy a Zesty Whopper as a combo or as part of the King's Feast at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Hello? Keisha, you something else, boy.
Who this is? Tamika?
You ain't even remember my name? Wow, Dred.
Girl, I've been so busy. You still planning a trip?
Girl, and I can't wait. I right here online booking my car.
You dare planning trip. You vaccinated?
Girl, we had to. We ain't been nowhere since this pandemic started. Girl, and we got a 14-day vacation.
Best vacation ever.
Girl, are you though?
Well, I know you's gonna get the vaccine because you too like travel. When y'all get your vaccine?
Girl, long time. Because you gotta get your first dose, wait, then get your second dose at least 2 weeks before you travel. Johnny get his vaccine and he 12. Even Grammy get hers. Child, and Grammy say she ain't get no money. But I see her hiding not under the mattress.
Child, let me send my list, because I know you going shopping.
Keisha, don't play with me.
Vaccinate today, live tomorrow. A message by PAHO, WHO, Canada, and USAID.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome to the revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Good to have you with us. They said we got a caller on the line. That's fine. The numbers to call are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. All right. Let's take a call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm good. How's it going?
Good, man. No problem. I want to know something, you know, like I told you this morning, man, you know. We can't keep going in this country like this, man. We can't keep going in this country like this. All our tax-based money. Overtaxing the people of us. Overtaxing us. And when times the doctors get paid the money, the police, the teachers, and nurses, they can't get the money. How? What kind of country is this we running, man? This game has to stop. In any other country, it'll be in a serious uproar, man. We do passes. You are telling me, please go there and do your jobs up there in charge. Play, man. We watching everything now, you know. We getting sick and tired of all this game you're playing, man. Okay, and thanks.
Okay.
And thanks for taking my call, Juan.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Alrighty. Okay. We got another caller now. All right, no problem. All right. No problem. Hold on, I'm trying to get back to my text messages. There we go. And I'm going to point out some stuff for you guys because there's something gravely wrong here. And I want to stay silent about it and just go, hey, man, no problem. Yes, anything goes in the Bahamas and everyone's entitled to every opinion, which you are. You're entitled to your opinion. But I mean, sometimes you should like a healthy dose of shame and how poorly thought out your opinion is should give you pause. But we a lot of people no longer seem to have that sort of filter or mechanism. This says, hello, do you recall what happened at the time to ACB Greenslade and Grand Bahama, the people at Grand Bahama awarded Greenslade with gifts and did not accept the gifts? This was a form of disclosure, thus we forget. I will be perfectly honest with you. I still to this day don't see the problem with Greenslade taking a Rolex or a car when he's leaving Grand Bahama. Like, I don't get it. If you like me and you want to give me, if I feel like going to give Paul Roll a watch or Fernando, like, hey, Fernando, man, let me bless you with one Rolex. And Fernando goes, okay, what's my expectation? That Fernando, I'm going to go kill four people and Fernando's going to be like, oh, well, you know, he gave me a Rolex. Like, what did y'all think was going to happen with Greenslade? He was going to do what? Like, what was he going to do?
Do coffee your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
When it comes to picking a pharmacy that is convenient, reliable, and puts you first, only one name comes to mind, Wilmax Pharmacy, a team of trusted and trained pharmacists ready to serve and assist you with all your pharmaceutical and over-the-counter needs. We also carry beauty and hair products as well as household and everyday supplies. Open 7 days a week, 7:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. NIV drug plan is accepted. Cut down your wait time. WhatsApp new prescriptions and refills to 817-4067. Visit Wilmax Pharmacy today. Poinciana Drive, opposite University of the Bahamas. Call 323-1037.
Hello? Keisha, you something else, boy. Who this is? Tamika? You ain't even remember my name?
Wow, Dredd.
Girl, I've been so busy. You still planning your trip?
Girl, and I can't wait. I right here online booking my car.
You dare planning trip. You vaccinated?
Girl, we had to. We ain't been nowhere since this pandemic started. Girl, and we got a 14-day vacation.
Best vacation ever.
Girl, are you though?
Well, I know you's gonna get the vaccine because you too like travel. When y'all get your vaccine?
Girl, long time. Because you gotta get your first dose, wait, then get your second dose at least 2 weeks before you travel. Johnny get his vaccine and he 12. Even Grammy get hers. Child, and Grammy say she ain't get no money. But I see her hiding that under the mattress.
Child, let me send my list because I know you going shopping.
Keisha, don't play with me.
Vaccinate today, live tomorrow. A message by PAHO WHO, Canada, and USAID.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Here we go.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Sign your basketball teams up today for the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic. August 1st through the 7th at the Hope Center. Get ready for the Pastors versus Politicians, along with the Phil Lightburn Slam Dunk Contest, then Energy 3-Point Shootout, along with all championship games, live in living color at the Kendall G. Eliza Gymnasium, Sunday, August 7th, beginning at 5 p.m. That's the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Street Basketball Classic. For more information, contact 601-484-2.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Mommy, guess what I did in school today?
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts. Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Internet went down at my house, so I had to come in to work, which, you know, is a reminder to me that this whole work-from-home thing isn't a guaranteed thing. The only reason I would come into the studio is because I like the sound, you know, because I can do everything from home. But I got, like, this Boss mic that they provided me with, and now I can work from home. But the internet's not consistent. It hasn't been consistent for the past couple of days over the weekend. I should have thought about that, but I didn't, and here we are. So usually BTC fiber on point, super duper on point in terms of internet service, far and away the best internet service I've ever had in the Bahamas. All right, but not today. All right, so BTC, work on that for me. All right, trying to do work from home. Now I got to come in the communal airspace of the studio. I don't know. If y'all spraying, don't smell like beep in here. I don't know what's happening. All right. So maybe it's the Village Road. Maybe they're working on Village Road. Anyway, we still got some show left, so it's good. We're good. I come here to you. A less dedicated man would have just been like, well, you know, I just get a MiFi device. Listen. Okay. Anyway. This MiFi thing ain't no real. You know how slow that thing is? Maybe it's by me. Maybe it's where I live. I get like 3G. They don't work, right? Not like that. You can't run no show on no MiFi. Hell no. You could maybe download some pictures. That you could WhatsApp. You ain't going to run a whole radio show. This takes power. All right, anyway, let me get through a couple of y'all text messages. I want to point out something else. And what I'm going to say next is not to shame anyone, although you should feel some shame, and I'm not going to call any names, but it is what it is. It says, too often we enjoy the comfort of opinion without the discomfort of thought. Yep, exactly. And that segues right into what I'm about to say. Hold on, I got a couple of texts. It says, one, all government settlements should be known for the public record. The public treasury of the Bahamas belongs to people. All government contracts are public. All public servant salaries are public. Knowing information about how your government is spending your funds always leads you to holding your government responsible. And the public servants will in turn display better care about how they spend your funds. Once there are secrets and secrecy, anything goes. Also with social media and the internet, it's very easy to assassinate people's character. And our laws need to be amended to protect persons from these types of assaults, whether it comes from the politician or the common man. Yeah, absolutely. This says, Mr. Mack, I don't know what discipline Dr. Darville is in, the medical paradigm, but please, Mr. Darville, stop pushing or manufacturing ignorance. Do you read the science or are you a robot? Please, you're shaming yourself, bro, real talks. Please read the Israeli study and some of the adjudicated real data. You're committing crimes against humanity, and to me, you're a dummy. Okay, that's a strongly held view. All right. It's a great show, as usual, Juan. Someone tell the wife you're in a car with a woman. The wife won't believe them because you're a McCartney. If anything, you'll be in the car with three or more women. That's, I know, right? And then they hit you with, why would someone lie? I don't know. Because they woke up today? Because a lot of people are pathological liars who just wake up and go, I want to lie. I want to lie on somebody. I'm not sure who. Let me think who I can lie on because I'm a dishonest, bad mind individual. Let me just figure out who I'm going to lie on right now. And I'm going to ride with that today. Who am I going to lie on today? People lie about anything. I can't explain why you lie. That's between you and Jesus. It says, You may not be able to use video, but voice will work fine on a MiFi. I worked for 2 years straight exclusively on a MiFi device. Really? Yeah, video ain't going to work. That I could tell you, because I tried to do it with my kids' school. Says, hey, Juan, my internet been in and out for days. For 4 days, I also use BTCnet internet and fiber, and I live in the South. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with BTC. BTC, again, I'll give you credit where credit is due. An immaculate internet service with fiber. Best by far I've ever had in the Bahamas, but don't know what's going on now. Y'all go fix that. I just paid my bill. All right, I want to do this for you just out of concern. So lately I've been noticing, for years now, I've been noticing people say really wacky stuff online. And I know how you feel, because I can get how it comes across. Juan thinks he knows everything. Juan thinks he's the smartest person in the room. Blah, blah, blah. He's making fun of people who are saying ignorant stuff. But at some point, you got to say, like, man, you're not going to even seek to try to justify what you're saying. You're just going to say it to say it because it sounds good because you're, what, angry or what? So, firstly, and this is, I want to build something here. I saw some comments when they had the drone show over Independence Weekend. And people are like, how much did this cost? How much are they spending our money on independence? So firstly, again, when you don't know what social media has done, it is, and I don't mind if you are asking questions, but what social media has done, it's gotten people comfortable with saying things without actually having to check what they're saying or have anyone who's responsible contest what they are saying. And you'll get into it on and on. And I told people, because you'd have some editors who respond to some of the posts under, like, Guardian on Facebook. And I'm like, I will not do so. I'm so sorry. I'm not. It's not only that people want to say whatever they want to say. They don't want to learn. They don't want to know the correct information. They don't want to be informed. They want to hold their view no matter what. So the first thing is this. The independence celebrations, okay, are not some secret that's closely held to anyone's chest. All right? I don't expect you to pay attention to everything, but if you're so concerned with what independence celebrations cost and you don't have the capacity to go beyond just shooting out a question that makes no sense, then just don't say anything, all right? So the independence celebration costs, they're in the budget. Not only are they in the budget, during the committee phase of the budget debate recently, the current opposition asked the government about it, about independence costs for this year and next year, and the government answered, all right? There's no secret cabal of independence costs and who got paid. Secondly, we can't have a drone show for independence. What do you want to do? You want the government? Okay, so the drone show costs, what, 200 grand? I don't know. I don't know the overall cost. What do you want? You want the government to go buy you turkey so you can stuff yourself? What is the best use of those resources in your mind? What do you think's going undone? Because we're celebrating independence on Independence Day. Help me. Like, what is your grand plan for the independence that you so covet that the government shouldn't spend on a drone show? You begrudge them that. Now, a lot of stuff y'all spend money on, I would, but the drone show? Come on. The next thing is, there's several things. I saw Chester Cooper wrote a post, all right? So let me show you, let me do Chester Cooper's post here. Let me see if I can find it. And this is who a lot of y'all are. I just want you to know. So Cooper said, Cooper has a picture of his family. His wife and children are eating breakfast with him, right? He's in Grand Bahama. He says, it's days like these that make everything worth it. There's nothing more valuable than spending time with my family, moving around our beautiful country with them, sharing the Bahamas with them, explaining the importance, the possibility, and the promise of islands like Grand Bahama. And of course, no Independence Day breakfast can be complete without boiled fish. Hashtag Team Cooper, hashtag Bahamas Drone. To any reasonable thinking person, that is a perfectly benign statement that is patriotic and also, you know, expresses his fealty to his family. All right? And to the Bahamas, like, why would anyone have any problem with it? Here goes some person. And these people are usually, I don't know, they just jump up. I'm not going to call your name, although you can search under Cooper's post. It's pretty easy to find. It says, it would and could be better If every Bahamian can afford to purchase breakfast, boil fish in their country, that's when we know it's good. So this is the level of your thinking. You wrote this, and you just left it there, and you think you make some sense. It wouldn't could be better if every Bahamian can afford to purchase breakfast, boil fish in their country, that's when we know it's good. Okay, so first of all, who in the Bahamas can't afford boil fish once a year on Independence Day? Like, who among the are we searching them out? Are we going to look for them? So that we can you afford boil fish? If not, the Deputy Prime Minister certainly can't give his family boil fish. Dude, at the Almond Tree on Kemp Road, they sell boil fish every Sunday. And people walking through Kemp Road come and buy boil fish. Boil fish is a national dish in the Bahamas. Boil fish and grits, as Simeon Hall taught you. People don't only eat boil fish with grouper, also. They eat boil fish with lots of different types of fish. And boil fish ain't no complicated, hard, terribly expensive meal to make. So the Deputy Prime Minister can't sit down until every Bahamian, you'll have to go seek them out, can afford boil fish for breakfast. Right? If you are a grown adult, and your situation is so dire that you can't afford boil fish for Independence Day, all right, then let's talk, all right? Let's talk about some opportunities. Let's talk about somehow to get some more money in your pocket, because I see y'all buying all sorts of stuff, claiming to be broke all the time, that costs just as much as boil fish, okay? I see y'all buying conch and breast snack combo all the time. I see y'all buying lobster dinners all the time. Like, we're so short-sighted in this country that the Deputy Prime Minister dare not eat boil fish. We're showing him eating boil fish with his family. Also, newsflash, Cooper was wealthy long before he became involved in politics, and he came from being dirt poor. All right? He shows people where he grew up in little, what is it, Forbes Hill, Exuma? It's him and Brave are running a competition between subsistence farming and Cat Island, growing up at Forbes Hill. You know, but come on. Can we elevate ourselves a bit more than this? This is what we think. Oh, if I see the Deputy Prime Minister eating boil fish, it's a problem because not every single person in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas can eat boil fish today. Like, grow up. Y'all grow up. We have challenges. We have poverty. And by the way, the vast majority of people in the Bahamas are not poor. A lot of y'all are broke. And we'll talk about that. And there's too much poverty, but the vast majority of people in the Bahamas are not poor. All right? And a big reason for that is the same tourists y'all scoff at and look down on. Yeah, I could show you some poverty. We could go some places where you'll be like, oh, this isn't anything like what I thought it would be. Now, there's some poverty that's terrible in the Bahamas, but there's like widespread abject poverty that's beyond what we understand in lots of places. So it'll be better when every Bahamian could purchase breakfast boil fish in their country. Jesus wept. Like, who are you guys? Everyone must be able to purchase boil fish in their country. So y'all don't do nothing. What y'all doing? I got to go seek out everybody who eating sausage and bread. I got to, Chester Cooper got to put life on hold. Don't show himself having boil fish. I don't understand y'all. Honestly, I don't. And that y'all feel comfortable saying this stuff is disturbing to me. I'm going to go even more so, because these are even more disturbing. Because they come from people who apparently maybe thought this through, or thought they thought it through, but didn't. And I have to clown y'all. I'm. It just got to be like this because it's ridiculous. And you guys have to start trying to do better. The government isn't responsible for everybody being able to eat boil fish for breakfast on Independence Day. It cannot be. Okay. Some of that must be on you. Okay, so there's another thing. And I had to do this because it's I can't remain silent. It would be an injustice if I were to. And again, you can look these things up. I'm not going to say any names because I don't want to just... I should, because you guys don't have any shame putting your name on it online. But I'm just going to say this. So let's read this. So this is a Nassau Guardian article that was online. It says, the government believes it will be in the position to launch the first blue carbon credit from Bahamian seagrass before the end of 2022. and expects in the next few months to launch the country's first carbon exchange through cryptocurrency exchange, FTX. Senior policy advisor and head of the Prime Minister's delivery unit, Jerome Fitzgerald, said yesterday. Let me read it again for you because I want you to listen to the response. This says the government believes it will be in the position to launch the first blue carbon credit from Bahamian seagrass before the end of 2022 and expects in the next few months to launch the country's first carbon exchange through cryptocurrency exchange, FTX, said senior policy advisor and head of the Prime Minister's delivery unit, Jerome Fitzgerald, yesterday. Okay. Who didn't understand what I just said? The government believes it'll be in position to launch the first blue carbon credit from Bahamian seagrass. So if you don't know what a carbon credit is, fine. If you don't know what Bahamian seagrass is, you should move to a different country. If you don't understand what a carbon exchange is, no problem. If you don't understand what a cryptocurrency exchange is, not a problem. However, these issues, carbon credits, carbon exchanges, and cryptocurrency exchanges have been discussed ad nauseum on these shows, in Parliament, in speeches, we've had conferences, and you have to try and not know what this stuff is if you're paying any attention to the news and current national event, that you don't know that Brave Davis is on a worldwide mission to try to reform the carbon credit markets or bring some sort of change in that regard. That you don't know that Brave Davis is going all over the place talking about the need for climate change and debt forgiveness due to climate change. If you don't know that, that's because you don't want to know. You don't want to be up on it. You're willingly choosing not to. And so you're special, so I got to go search you out because you don't understand something. So here's the response two responses now. And these things get likes. Some of y'all co-sign this stuff. This person says, layman's term, please, for us who don't know anything about this crypto stuff. This the problem now. Only a few benefits, whilst the majority are loss, loss, loss. Such great leaders we have / had, they belong in the trash, vomit face. This the problem now. Only a few benefits, while the majority are loss, loss, loss. Whose fault is it that you're lost? Because if you bothered to take the time that it took you to write this stupidity and clicked on the link and read the Guardian story, it explains not only what a carbon credit is, not only why it's tied to Bahamian seagrass, it also explains what the carbon credit market is and what a cryptocurrency exchange and FTX are. You didn't even read the... You're so comfortable in your dumbness, in your ignorance, that you just write this. And people are liking it. So I must go seek you out and teach you and sit you down and go, bro, here's carbon credit. And if I didn't do that, then the Bahamas government is a failure. Y'all got to do better than this, man. Here, this is even better. Here's the response to this comment. This says, thank you. It seems almost deliberate when governments make these grand announcements that the opportunities will only be for the well-informed. Omitting ordinary Bahamians, SMDT. It seems deliberate that the opportunities will only be for the well-informed, omitting ordinary Bahamians. So your grand analysis is that ordinary Bahamians are not well-informed. So that's your opinion of your people. You may be correct, by the way. Okay? That's your grand analysis, that ordinary Bahamians are not informed and therefore they're omitted. Here's your statement. Here's the abject nonsense in it. It seems that these opportunities will only be for the well-informed, omitting ordinary Bahamians. What in the hell are you talking about? What opportunity? What is the opportunity for you if the government decides to get on the carbon market and exchange carbon credits? There's no personal involvement for you or most ordinary Bahamians. If you want to buy it through a cryptocurrency exchange, anyone can do that. There's no opportunity for ordinary Bahamians in the government getting into the carbon credit market. Other than the government is hoping to leverage debt to bring in revenue so that they could make life better, hopefully, for all Bahamians. You don't even understand what the hell you're talking about. But yet you say,
opportunities are only for the well-informed. Here's the thing. Yes. Yes, opportunities are going to be for the well-informed. Do you want to be uninformed and have opportunity presented to you? What are you going to do with it? Yes. The better paying jobs are for people with skills who bother to educate themselves. If you're uninformed about something in your behavior, you don't want to know more about it. This whole internet y'all use for pornography and to record each other fighting and doing all kinds of weird stuff. It's got all the information on the world right at your fingertips. There's nothing that you can't go find out with a 10-second search. Type in blue carbon credit. Guy says, layman's terms, please, for us who don't know nothing about credo. We're so comfortable in saying that we're ignorant that we don't mind who knows it. That you don't know nothing about crypto and carbon credit, that's your fault. That's not the government's fault. That's your fault for being uninformed. What level of responsibility do you take for your lack of knowledge? That I don't know everything that the government is talking about is the government's fault? Don't be no journalist then, I could tell you that, because it requires lots of research. You know what I do when I don't understand something that they say in a speech or a politician does? I write it down and I research it so that I'm aware of what they're talking about. That everybody must dumb it down to the point where you assume nobody knows anything is nonsense. You're going to have to up your game. Oh, what are you saying, McCartney? You're going to have to up your game. You're going to have to do some research. What? I got to read, McCartney? Yeah, bro. If you had just read the article, you would understand all those terms. Because unlike the politicians, we understand that not everybody might immediately recognize what this is, and we can do a brief explanation of it to get everybody up to speed. You ain't even going to click on the link. You won't even read the story. It says at the top of the story, 3-minute read. You won't take the 3 minutes, will you? You're going to get on Facebook. And this person can respond. Opportunities only for the well-informed. Well, who the hell should they be for? The ignorant? The lost? Who should get opportunities in technology and digital spaces other than people who are willing to be informed about technology and digital spaces? Just everyone I must go to and say, you must know this? Or does it require something on your part as well? I'm confused about where we are as a country. This is where we are 49 years after independence, that we don't know something that the whole world has been talking about, cryptocurrency, for years, is the government's fault. It's astounding to me. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. This is Lincoln Bain.
Hey, Lincoln. What's happening?
I am awesome, man. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, man.
And I know I contributed a lot to this, to the carbon credits conversation in this country. And I don't think we should, you know, talk down to the behavior of people like that. Yes, people should educate themselves, but we've made a system where we make it a point to keep our people dumbed down. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the biggest problem we have with this is not, I don't want to dwell on that, don't worry about that.
Okay.
The biggest problem we have with this is something you're missing.
Mm.
It's that Bahamians are not allowed to benefit from cryptocurrencies to the point where you're not allowed to use your card to buy it, and you can't transfer it back to your bank account. So us getting FTX means nothing to us as a people. It's nothing to celebrate. And them putting our carbon credits that other nationals will be able to trade on the market onto the FTX platform will now isolate Bahamians, and it will exclude Bahamians. This is a problem one. This is what people don't understand. Some understand cryptocurrency, but they want to understand what it is the government is doing. And it's like the media, et cetera, you guys are ignoring that fact. But anyone who is interested in this, I trade cryptocurrency, and I can tell you that it is hell as a Bahamian to be able to get your cryptocurrency onto any bank account. All right? And that's where the problem comes in. So we are excluded. So that's nothing for us to celebrate, where our seagrass is now going to be used to generate probably billions of dollars or millions of dollars, and Bahamians won't benefit, but everyone else in the world will. That's the problem one.
Okay. I understand what you're saying. However, I'll counter with this. You know, the central bank proposed public commentary on its approaches to the regulation of crypto assets. It's on the central bank website. There's an 18-page document where the central bank is explaining what it is trying to do. It wrote out entire sections, understanding crypto financial instruments, understanding international regulatory expectations of the Bahamas and the central bank. It talks about the Bahamian approach that the central bank is looking to develop because it has a Payment Systems Act and exchange control, and we have obligations under the FATF with AML and CFT, anti-money laundering and counter-financing of terrorism. And it is a process that is ongoing. Now, could it be done
read.
Quicker?
It's a very good read. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, come on, how long have we been talking about Freedom of Information Act, for example? We're not interested in them telling us what would be good to do sometime in the future or what they plan on doing.
I see.
This is stuff that can be done now, and if they want to, just like they pass many acts, they can do it now.
Let me ask you this. If we allow Bahamians right now, if the central bank goes, you know what, free for all, go as much as cryptocurrency as you want, let's do that. And then people lost their shirt on cryptocurrency, which has dropped, 80% since the beginning of the year? What would you say? Would you say that the central bank didn't properly protect them? Because it seems like they can't do right in any circumstance. If they take a cautious approach, they're locking Bahamians out. If they take an open market approach and they let everybody loom, then they're not being responsible in terms of protecting Bahamian assets.
It's a very good point, but guess what? As a Bahamian, as a human being with human rights under international laws, I have a right to lose my shirt on anything. That's like saying we shouldn't open a new mall because women are going to go and buy up a bunch of shoes and clothes, et cetera, and spend all their money. We shouldn't open web shops or legalize it because everyone's going to gamble all of their money, which people are not. That is not a right way to look at it. There are many people who have gained from cryptocurrency. We should have the option. All right, for ethical thinkers, God still put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden, even though he knew it would have happened. All right, we have a right. It's called freedom. And I should have a right to risk cryptocurrency because I can gain and lose. In certain markets, like the stock market, that they also don't allow us to freely use, we're disadvantaged. You can make money when the market goes up or goes down. They call it short selling. All right, so there's different ways that people can benefit. But the fact of the matter is, stop holding Bahamians down, man. Take this handcuffs off of us and let us participate like everybody else. It's wealth generation.
I understand, Lincoln, and I do appreciate that they could move faster. But I don't think it's fair to just tell people that the government's locking them out of these things. There's the Digital Assets Registered Exchange Bill that just passed in the House. That allows Bahamian financial institutions to register as a cryptocurrency exchange. Is it for the common man on the street all the time? Not necessarily in that they won't be able to own a registered cryptocurrency exchange, but you can certainly invest in Bahamian companies. And this is what I'm trying to tell you, right? So we often talk about things being locked out and kept away from us. But you can go now and buy government-registered stock. Anyone. You could go with $100 and open a CFAL RF account. You can go right now and buy insurance instruments.
Government-registered stock. We don't want CFAL. We want to buy Alphabet, Google. We want to buy Microsoft. We want to buy the same things that other people around the world can buy and have an advantage that we don't have. That's what we want
to
buy.
But you can buy them now. You just need to apply to the central bank.
Say again?
You need to apply to the central bank, and you can go ahead and purchase.
There's a massive disadvantage because you have to pay a percentage of whatever you're investing out of this country. It has been 25% for a very long time, and it was recently decreased to 12.5%. You're coming in at a disadvantage that other people around the world don't have. That's if you manage to be allowed to do it.
When you say other people around the world, what do you mean?
Are
you saying we're the only country in the world that regulates monetary policy for its citizens?
Not regulate monetary policy. We want.
But because what you sound like you're saying is that we should have.
We don't want restrictions on Bahamians that are not on other people. We don't want that. And our whole system seems to be revolving around that. The nexus of our economy is the casino hotel. Bahamians are restricted from owning casino hotels. Bahamians can't even gamble in a hotel when other people can.
I understand
right?
that.
A Haitian national could come here on the boat with a passport and go in the casino and gamble, but a Bahamian can't. These things are archaic. They might have served a purpose back in the 60s or 70s, whatever that purpose could be. But today, we need to free Bahamians, and we need to allow a free economic society that is controlled by market forces. Yes, some will win and some will lose, but that is what we need. Take the handcuffs off us. That's what we're saying. So this FTX thing is wonderful, and I applaud them coming here, and we need people like that here. But the fact that Bahamians can't freely participate in it is laughable to celebrate them being here, but Bahamians can't participate. That carbon credit thing, that is a robbery of the century. You're taking our carbon credit. Other nationals from every other country will be able to trade our seagrass, but we will not. That's
we'll,
the problem.
But we'll,
just look into it.
Yeah, but we'll benefit from the trade in seagrass. As our carbon credit value increases, then the value to the government of the Bahamas increases.
We don't need to be empowering the government. We need to empower our people. That is what we need to do. When I presented carbon credits, there's other countries that are using the natural resources to empower their people want. The government is the government. They're straight. They're good. Mm-hmm. We need to empower our people, and by empowering us, the government will be empowered. That's what other countries like Qatar, Dubai, Norway, other countries realize that if you empower the people, then there's more revenue for the government because there's more people who are in a better position. We have to change our thinking, man.
I understand
don't
that. But
them bring this thing, this new carbon credit thing, where the government will benefit, but the people won't.
But what is your suggestion for the people that benefit from seagrass? You don't own the seagrass as individuals. It's the collective wealth of the people of the Bahamas, which is entrusted in the government. So
good
how
question.
Do you free the market to let everybody trade? I'm just going to claim some seagrass, or the government's going to apportion
good
it
question.
Out?
Good question. Good question. Whenever you buy an iPhone, I benefit because I buy shares in Apple. So if the seagrass is traded on the carbon market generally, then we as a people can benefit from that, where we have a sovereign wealth fund where the money from it, instead of going into the consolidated fund where it's going to get lost, the money goes into the sovereign wealth fund and then is issued out in different benefits or checks, et cetera, to the Bahamian people. All right? That's how we can benefit. I hope you see the difference in the mindset.
I see your point about a sovereign wealth fund. I will disagree that we need to start cutting checks to the Bahamian people before we deal with our $12 billion
of debt. I said cut checks or benefit.
Okay. All right. Well, the benefit I'll take. Yeah.
Like
so
in
we
Dubai,
got schools to
know,
build
you have,
before we
you know,
cut checks.
Free healthcare, free electricity, internet might be free, certain things that you might get because they're trying to find a way to make sure that as a individual who owns the natural resources along with everybody else, they have benefits that come back to you. And so our carbon credits should be used to go to a sovereign wealth fund. And because of taxes, et cetera, it's going to come right back to the government. The government is going to be making more revenue by empowering our people, then bringing other people in the country to work for us, because now we're the owners. It's a change in the mindset. But this carbon credit thing is a new rape and robbery. Now, you should have also looked at the new carbon credit bill. And if you look through that bill, Juan, you're going to see where everything goes to the prime minister. He has the power for everything. He calls the shot on everything. No other country is that the case. You shouldn't have to go to the prime minister shouldn't be determining who trades, what is traded, and everything goes to him. That is a problem with our law. We always say don't politicize things, but every single act, and I know you've read a lot of them, puts power in the minister. That shouldn't happen. That happens in no other country.
Yeah, but
so
Lincoln,
is that
intellectually honest? Because the minister is a part of cabinet, and cabinet is the executive that we put in power. So how do we say it takes power out of the people's hands if the power is invested in the minister?
Right, because we should. So, for example, if I want to open a business, I shouldn't have to go to any minister or the prime minister. There should be boards, departments, et cetera, in place to do everything.
But you
there
don't.
There should be a committee, a board, a council that deals with decisions as it relates to carbon credits, crown land, and everything else. So it doesn't have to go through a politician. That's what I'm saying. No politician should be in control of this. Put a board that is independent in charge of whatever it is we're dealing with so that we can get rid of corruption in this country and having politicians determine who gets to eat in this country. We got to change that one.
Okay. I mean, I think it's a lot of absolutism that you're talking about and not giving credit for the fact that there's nuance and why we have exchange controls and why stuff is divested in government authority. I agree that the Bahamian people should be more empowered. You're saying they should lose their shirt. You're saying they can't invest in
no,
Google.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that.
You're saying they should be able to lose their shirt. You're saying
I'm
they should
saying,
be.
But I'm saying that I have a right to spend my money. You have a right to go to the casino in Miami right now in Fort Lauderdale Hard Rock Casino and spend all your money. That's your right. All right? You shouldn't be hindered from doing that. The government shouldn't make a law saying, listen, you can go to Miami, but you can't go to Hard Rock Casino. All right? You have a right to enjoy yourself. You have a right to go to Disney World and spend all your money to ball your children.
I agree,
so
but that's not the same thing.
If someone wants to take a risk in cryptocurrency, they should be allowed.
I think that it has to be regulated. I honestly do. I think that.
Yes,
and
I plus, agree on that.
Plus, Lincoln, come on. You don't know hundreds of Bahamians who trade in cryptocurrency right now?
Yes, there are, but over the last few months, I guess since last year or the year before that, more and more restrictions, more and more banks started blocking their transactions. And now even the last bank that was allowing them, Bank of the Bahamas, has stopped. So anytime they try to use their card to buy crypto or try to use their accounts to receive it back, they have a problem with that. So they have to find backdoor means. Why are you treating Bahamians like criminals for something that is normal in other countries, man?
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessary.
Well, you know, I think that they should
the
liberalize
door and
it.
Let Bahamians participate, man.
Yeah, I think it should be liberalized, but when you say open the door without regulation, that's a recipe
no,
for
No, not without regulation. The
but you said the government shouldn't be in charge of it. You said the government shouldn't be in charge of it. The government regulates it, right?
No, the government should put, the politicians should put a board that makes decision. The regulations would empower the board. The act would empower the board. The regulations would say what they and other persons can do. All right, so like, for example, we keep talking about Crown Land. There's no Crown Land Act like they have in Canada, in Australia, in the UK, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
We need a Crown Land Act, and we need regulation to say this is what Crown Land is, this is how you possess it, this is the application process, and this is how you qualify. Simple. And it goes through a board that makes a decision on who they're going to issue it to, not the prime minister having the opportunity to give it to political cronies, et cetera, but an independent
right.
board that does it.
We're running out of time, but...
for everything, including crypto.
Who appoints this board?
Who appoints the board?
Yeah.
Of course.
No,
of
I'm
course,
asking you who appoints it. The prime minister, right?
The board, and these... sorry, not the prime minister. We determine who appoints these boards. Boards can be elected by elections, like a school board, et cetera, or they can be elected, appointed by the minister, prime minister, whatever you want. But this board, the intention of it is to make sure that this board is impartial. And all right? And then we need an ombudsman who's going to look out for the interests of the Bahamian people. So if these boards are not acting properly or the prime minister isn't acting properly, we have somewhere to go to get some kind of justice.
Okay. Well, you...
we can do this one.
Took us to the end of the show.
To change our thinking. I want to empower you.
I want to change my thinking too, Lincoln. I don't agree with your approach to it in every aspect. Okay?
Yeah.
I want some tighter regulation. I want exchange control. I want us to be careful of it. I want us to actually be informed about it. And you're telling me
don't blame the people for not being informed.
Sorry.
You're missing one thing. You say you want exchange control. What's the purpose of exchange control? Because foreigners can come here, and they're generating the majority, the bulk of the money. They own the hotels, et cetera. All right? They own a lot of the money that's generated.
Right.
They can send their money directly out of this country instantly without any controls on them. The only control is on the Bahamian people. That's the only thing there's control on. We're not generating the most of the money. We're not Atlantis. We're not Bahama. They can generate their money and send it straight out of the country. There's no exchange control as it relates to that. I mean, with the restrictions. But for Bahamians who making $200, $300 a week, you don't want us to send that out of the country? You don't want us to invest that?
I like having this conversation. So you believe we should prevent the foreigner from repatriating funds. Now, you could tax them. You'll get me on
definitely
that.
Definitely not.
But if I'm a Bahamian and I own a business in the United States of America, they should take the same approach?
If you're a Bahamian...
So I'm Bamboo right, Shack, and
you
I have
to go to Central Bank to be able to own a business in America. All right? That's the first thing. All right? And the practice before is if you got permission, you had to give them 25% of whatever you were investing. So if you wanted to invest $1 million in America, you had to give the government $250,000 just to be able to do that.
Yeah,
you
but only
at a disadvantage.
Only insofar right? as you're taking money out of a Bahamian bank to do it.
Say again?
Only insofar as you're taking money out of a Bahamian bank to do it.
No, there's backdoor ways that they can go around it, all right? But why should Bahamians have to go through that? other countries encourage their people to invest outside of the country. America encourages their businesses. They help them. They lobby for them. They make sure if they're dealing with corruption, et cetera, they fight for them. They speak on their behalf. They encourage that because you're going to be bringing money back home. All right? That is the thought. People always want to have money in a safe place. So assume a lot of that money is going to come back home or you're going to spend it back to where you're naturally from. We should be encouraging Bahamian. Why aren't we encouraging Bahamians to open hotels in Jamaica, open hotels in Trinidad, in Mexico, et cetera?
We should
be empowering Bahamians to do these kinds of things. All right?
Okay.
And helping them if we can. Because many of them are now going to repatriate money back to the Bahamas if they wish to. And it's an opportunity to empower all of our people. Our government should be about empowering our people. And that is the change. That's what we have to change, Juan. So exchange controls for Bahamians are in place, and most Bahamians don't know about it because they don't ever think to invest out of the country. But if you right now want to open a business in Miami, you got to go to Central Bank, my brother.
Right? Yeah,
your
but
money
I can.
Is here.
You can. Last I checked, you can request up to $5 million to invest $5 million. Why should? Okay, so let me ask. We got to go, right? So
yeah.
How can every country that you talk about that's so great that encourage their people to invest outside of the country? How come they are going around the world sniffing out places that they're hiding taxes, profits, ring fencing, and punishing us so that their citizens keep their money in their country?
Great question, because persons were setting up companies that were not genuine companies. They were not doing genuine businesses. They were setting up companies to funnel money to so that their company in America would not have shown to make profit, but it would make profit in the other country. And so that's why America was doing that. Genuine business, they don't have a problem with. They don't have a problem. They encourage their companies, and they fight for their companies to get contracts, et cetera. But it was those people who were being disingenuous and trying to hide money that was actually generated in America. All right? That's why they were doing that. This has been a great conversation, Juan. Looking forward to having some more with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and the thing about it is they were looking at profits made anywhere in the world just based on your citizenship. Okay? So you're a citizen of France, and they see that you're making money. It's like if you're a Canadian, right? If you're a Canadian and you don't declare income from another jurisdiction or from a contract you have outside of the country, they will take you to court, and they will sue you for the money, or they will seize assets until they get what they want, all right? Now, a lot of stuff that Lincoln said technically doesn't align with the central bank's regulations on exchange control, on investment of assets, on the Digital Assets and Registered Exchange Act. And so we got to be speaking from the same hymn book when we're talking about Bahamian law. I agree, you want to free up stuff, but to suggest that the cryptocurrency market be, the door be kicked open and exchange control be abandoned, these are not ideas I endorse, but it's good to have a conversation. And y'all do need to educate yourselves, all right? I'm not going to make no excuse that you don't know something for you, all right? As long as we're out here and we're living and we're breathing, we're learning, and that's what we should be doing. Not saying nonsense that opportunity is only for well-informed people. If you're not informed, then what are you doing making decisions? All right, we got to go. We cut into Lang's time. You guys have a great day. Take care, Bahamas.